My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help God's people, comfort them, pray for them, and serve them. Today we seek to do the same. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH. We invite you to share this ministry with your friends and family so that they might find the hope that we have in Jesus. We also invite you to request our monthly newsletter, A New Song. This newsletter contains a classic devotional Bible study from my dad's writings and our weekly sermon schedule for the month. To receive a paper or email copy, you may request it on our website at cwh.org. Call us or write to us. Dad's message, The Tree on Which the Savior Died, speaks of the cross, the tree of sin, the tree of justice, and the tree of liberty. We hope it is encouraging for you today. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, another week has gone by, and we're that much closer to heaven. And you know what? Among our wonderful congregation scattered all over the world, every week we hear from those who've gone on home to be with the Lord. Sometimes we'll get 5 or 10 different letters of folks that have gone to be with Jesus. And so we're just that close, one breath away. And won't that be wonderful when we see Jesus face to face and see the glories of heaven? And we're going to be talking about Jesus today, about Jesus on the cross, how he gave his life for us and was raised from the dead. And so maybe you can call a friend, say, tune us in. Going to have a great sermon about the wonderful Jesus who died for us and was raised from the dead. Oh, I love to preach about Jesus. But first, let's look at Psalm chapter 24 and verses 7 to 10. The psalmist said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Heavenly Father, we've come to worship you. We're praying to you today, the great King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of all there is on the face of the earth. And you are the everlasting, and you died once on the cross, but was raised the third day, and you will live forever, and we will live with you if we take you as our Savior. And oh, we're praying today in our service, there'll be multitudes all over the world who will pray and ask Jesus into their heart and ask him to save them and become a child of God. And may everything we say and do honor the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jan's going to sing for us, Because He Lives, and God bless you, Jan.
He called him Jesus. He came.
Thank you, Jan. And isn't that a wonderful message? Do you know what? Of all the religions of the world, Christianity is the only one that can sing that song. The founders of the others are smoldering in the grave, but Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He was dead, yes, for 3 days and three nights, and that's what we're going to preach about, the tree on which the Savior died. But the third day he was raised, he died for our sins and paid for our sins. And the third day was raised, and he ascended into heaven later, and he is there at the right hand of God. And one of these bright, sunny days, he's going to come again. And won't that be something? And so I just hope your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because if it's in anybody else or anything else, you're going to have an awful, Christless eternity, and that place is called hell. And so just open your heart to Jesus. And if you haven't done that, we're going to talk about that, how that you just need to pray and say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can." Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means turning from the old life, living a new life for Jesus. And so, "Dear Jesus, just come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can," and then thank him, and you're a child of God, just like that. John 5:24 said, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," right now, believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, as they won't go to hell, but will pass from death unto life, eternal life in heaven. Oh, make that prayer if you haven't done it, do it right this minute. But we want to read some of the letters, and we just thank you so much for writing, and you just mean so much to us. We read every letter we get. And so get your pencil and paper, and when I'm done reading some of these letters, I'm going to give you the address. And maybe the Holy Spirit will say, "You better write them a letter. You need to encourage them. Or maybe you got a question you'd like to ask." So you pass that along. But our first letter is from Orlando, Florida. And this is a young lady, 17 years old. And she said, "Dear Christian Worship Hour, thank you for the wonderful sermon on Elijah and Elisha, the prophets, in 2 Kings. And we love you." And then this is a young lady, 17 years old. And so we're always happy when we hear from the children and the young people. And we hear from quite a number of them. And the reason we hear from the children is because they understand the sermon. They love the singing. And the sermon, if you can't understand it, boy, I'm telling you, you really need some help, because we preach so that any child can understand this message. Wonderful message. That's the way Jesus was. He talked so the people understood, didn't he? Well, let's see. Lingley, Wyoming. "I'm 11 years old. My dad and I just love watching and listening to your program. It is the highlight of our Sunday. But if I could ask one thing, it would be that you pray for my dad and I. My mother divorced my father when I was at the age of 2. I have no idea what it is like to have a family with a father and a mother. Please, Pastor, I'm desperate. I need prayers. I was saved and baptized at 8 years old." And now this is a little 11. She says she's 11 years old. And so we do pray for her. And, you know, there are a lot of single mothers and single fathers with children. But, you know, God will help you through it. And he'll bless you and he'll take care of you. And you just trust him and love him. And he'll make it possible so you can become a good, strong Christian and a soldier for Christ. Woodridge, Minnesota. And there's a little short letter. It says, "Thanks so much for telling the truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Sincerely, Sister." And she is a sister of a religious order. And so we're always happy when we hear from pastors and those who are in the service of the Lord, called to full-time service in the Lord. Thank you for that letter. Here's Hamilton, Montana. "Please accept this gift. I thank the Lord Jesus and the entire staff for bringing me back to Jesus. 2.5 years now, And I put that letter in because I want you all to know that maybe you have accepted Jesus and you drifted away. It's easy to do. I've done the same thing. I know from experience. And you drift away from Jesus and then you say, oh, he'll never take me back. You know, that's what Peter thought. He denied Jesus, didn't he? He swore that he didn't know Jesus Christ, swore that he didn't even know Jesus Christ. And then the cock crew, and Peter remembered. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me before the cock crows thrice. And I'm sure Peter must have said, I blew it. He'll never talk to me again. If I would have just denied him, that'd been one thing. If I'd have just walked away, I swore, I took his name in vain, that I didn't know him. And yes, you'd say, yeah, I don't suppose he'll ever get back. But you know the story. If you read the story, a little bit later, Jesus goes down to Galilee, and Peter went back to fishing. That was his profession. He thought everything's lost, went back to fishing. And Jesus came and he made a little breakfast with coals and had some fish on the coals there. And he called Peter and he recommissioned Peter. And Peter, he took Peter back because Peter repented. And Jesus took him back and he recommissioned him. And Peter served Jesus till he died, till he paid for his life. They took his life. Because he stood for Jesus. So you may have drifted away off. And I know the main thing I hear from people is they say, well, he will never forgive me because I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. Well, I guess maybe all have done that. I've done that. And he'll take you back if you just ask him, tell him you're sorry. And in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John was written to Christians who sinned and came back. Maybe you could come back today. Jesus loves you, wants you to come back home. Let's see, where are we here? Here's one that writes and says that they, Centerville, South Dakota. I appreciate the time you put into the new song. Very uplifting with the word of the Lord. Being a retired banker, I support you because your ministry is accountable to the finances, ECFA, your brother in Christ. So here's a man, he's a banker, and he's used to handling money and accounting for money, every penny. And he says he takes comfort because remember the ECFA. And that stands for the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books. And do they go through you? They drive you crazy. And they're everywhere. They spend about 4 days with our little operation. And they just check everything. Not only what we take in, but if we've receded and how we spend it. Do we spend it according to what we're reporting? And it's all above board. And really, I'm happy for the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, which, by the way, was started by Billy Graham, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. They started that organization, and it's now worldwide. And I'm thankful for them because I can stand up here and say, you don't need to worry one bit. It's all accounted for. Every penny's taken care of. Let's see. Here's one that says, here is a subject item for Pastor Salem. Are talking with God and praying to God the same thing? Yep, that's right. That's what prayer is, talking to God. And sometimes people think, oh, you have to be in church to talk to God. And you should go to church. I was pastor of a church for over 52 years, one church, and 13 and a half in another church. And I love the church. And you ought to go to church if you possibly can. But some people think that's the only place you can pray. But people pray in other places. The thief on the cross prayed on the cross. with his hands outstretched. He couldn't put his hands together in a prayerful mode. He was nailed to the cross. And Jesus heard his prayer and talked to him. He says to the thief, because you've accepted me and trusted in me, today you're going to be in heaven, going to be in heaven with me today. And that's so, yes. And oh yeah, I'm thinking about Jonah. And he was in the whale of a belly, in the whale of a fish for 3 days and three nights. And then the fish, and he prayed while he's in the fish's stomach. And he prayed. And all those gastric juices are working on him, see? And he's a praying to God. And then God spoke to the fish, and all of creation obeys God. And the fish just burped him up on the bank, and he went into Nineveh and preaching. And you know, I don't think he had any hair. I bet you that all those acids in that stomach took all of his hair off, and he probably was yellow. And what would he smell like, you know? And so, but that's where he prayed, fish's belly. So, yep, you pray to Jesus. Wherever you are, talk to Jesus. Let me see. I had one more here that I want to spread. Oh, this is really a nice letter. This is a letter from New York City, and this is a young lady. She says, I'm in my 20s. I live in New York City on my own. I work as a Broadway performer, and most important, I'm a Christian. I'm pretty certain God planted me here because there's so many depressed, broken-hearted actors that need to hear the gospel, which I freely share. Anyway, I accepted Jesus when I was 5 or 6. And so we got to corresponding with this young lady, and then she said, would you mind being my spiritual grandfather, my spiritual grandpa? And I says, I would sure be honored. And so here I got an email from her. She says, a prayer a day for my new grandpa in Christ, my Christian worship hour family. And that's what we are, Christian worship hour family. She's a member of our family now. Christian, our family, and every single seed planted throughout your years of ministering to the Word. Now, listen to what she says here. She says, even if the person only heard the show for 1 minute over shortwave radio 20 years ago in Saudi Arabia, God has blessed it. What a wondrous, glorious God we serve. You know, she's a better preacher than I am. Isn't that beautiful? And as God says, my word will not return unto me void. It'll accomplish the purpose to which it has been sent. And that's why we quote the Bible all the time. Everything we do is from the Bible. Preach the Bible. Because when I preach with the Bible, I can preach with authority. I don't have to say, I hope so. I wish it would be so. It could be maybe, and hope for the best and all of that. I can get up here and say, this is what God says, bang, and that's it, Buster. And that's all there is to it. If you don't like it, it's your trouble, not mine. And then she says, if that was preached 20 years ago, that seed is still there, and it'll touch hearts. And that's exactly right. So these are wonderful letters, and it's a wonderful ministry. But we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your gifts. And we need some of your letters. And you write to us to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in good old, just don't put the good old on there. Just say, we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all of you on shortwave radio, get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give it to you another time or two. And another way you can give is through the internet. And it's just surprising, but anywhere in the world, you get to christianworshiphour.com, and then you look on there, and there's a place that says donate, and you punch that button, and then it'll say, and you can give any amount you want in any currency in the world, and we'll get it in American currency and pay our bills. And we've had gifts from Norway and the Philippines and Germany, and just recently we got a gift from Israel. And so you can help us that way, christianworshiphour.com, and you can just send it to us, and we'll send you a receipt, and we can pay the way. And James says, you have not because you ask not. And so we're telling you, we have needs. And if I don't ever say we have a need, you say, well, they must have plenty of money, or they be telling us. We live for just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. And you just have to help us. If you just pray, and this is what I ask you to do. You just pray and say, Dear Jesus, should I give to this organization? Should I give to this ministry? And if he says yes, do it. If he says no, give it somewhere else. There are other good organizations, other good ministries. But just pray and help us out. And one other thing that I have to mention, and that is that we have a little Bible study called the New Song. New Song. This month we're talking about reasons why we should be thankful, the month of November. And so you put on there, if you just write to us, send us a gift, we'll automatically put you on the list. And you'll get the New Song, our little Bible study. So I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays it on your heart. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Heavenly Father, thank you for all who help us in this work. We pray, just pray that you'll continue to help us as you have for almost 40 years. And we're just looking to you to help us through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke chapter 23 today. And so if you want to turn to that passage, is the passage of the crucifixion of our dear Savior, Luke chapter 23. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iraq. Every week we pray for a different country. And these countries are set up, there's an organization and they mark where the persecution is the worst. And so then we pray for those people, and it's going to be the people in Iraq. So in Luke 23, looking at verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, excuse me, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the spirit. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, and beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. So let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can read this passage today. We've read it so many times, and every time we read it, we're touched to the heart to know that this sinless Son of God, this perfect person, would take our sins, go to the old rugged cross, and pay for our sins with his own blood. Because the only remission of sins is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we're told that with the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And only you could do that for us, and so you did it because you loved us. Not because we deserved it, but because you loved us. So we thank you for going to the cross and paying that great price. And Lord, while we're talking about that, we're thinking about the persecuted church, because there are those dear people today that are dying for you. They're going to the cross, maybe not just the cross, but they're giving their life. And some of them, Lord, their homes are broken up, and some of them don't know where dad is or mom is or the children are. And their old grandparents, how can they get around and see their grandchildren? And there many suffer in many ways. And so we pray especially for Iraq, that, Lord, they'll know, and maybe some are watching us on a shortwave radio today. And so they can know that we're praying for them. And not just our program, but all of our listeners all over the world, we're all praying for Iraq. The whole world has got their eye on Iraq today, praying for our Christian brothers and sisters. And isn't that beautiful? And so now this is your service, and we pray that you help us to lift high Jesus, the beautiful, beautiful Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us before the message, and she's going to sing, God Will Take Care of You. So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. From early morning to setting sun, God will take care of you. Through every day till
that a wonderful song, a wonderful thought, wonderful words. God will take care of you. And I know there are some of you that are watching with us and you're worshiping with us, or you're getting us on shortwave radio. Do you know that we cover 90% of the world's population on shortwave radio alone? Isn't that beautiful? And there may be some of you going through hard times now. Maybe you have lost a loved one. Maybe your health is giving out. Maybe your finances are bad. Maybe there's trouble with the children. I don't know. But I know this, that God is going to see you through it. If you just accept his son as your savior, you can become his child. And just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. And you take him into your heart. And then you follow him the best you can. and he'll help you. And I'm not going to say that he'll take all the problems away, but I am telling you one thing I can tell you for sure. He'll be with you in the fire. He'll be with you in the flood, just like he was with the three Hebrew children. He didn't take them out of the fiery furnace, but he was with them side by side. And so that just count on that. When you have Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, ask him into your heart, and you'll have a friend that'll stick with you all the way through life. And when you come to the end of life, he'll take your hand, lead you over. I'm 96 years old, and he's going to be there waiting to take me through, take me over. And you know how long it'll take me to go from this earth to heaven? One split second. One breath here, and the next breath is in heaven. That's how close it is. So all rests in Jesus. Got to have Jesus. But I want to talk today about the tree on which the Savior died. The tree on which the Savior died. And I take for my text from Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, where Peter declared concerning the crucifixion of Jesus, and he said, "Whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." He's talking to the Sanhedrin, and they had a part in the crucifixion. And he says, "You took him and slew him and hung him on a tree." When Peter talks about a tree, he's really talking about the cross. He's talking about the old rugged cross, the cross on which the Savior died. And Peter refers to the cross as a tree, because the cross was hewn out of a tree. So that's why he calls it the tree. The tree has been referred to by many. Samuel Porter called it the triumphant tree. Marguerite Wilkinson called it the radiant tree. Many call it the tree of life. Paul said of this tree, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." He's talking about the cross. God calls it the tree of the curse, because on this tree his son's body was broken, excuse me, and his blood was shed. Peter gets the term tree from the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, he says, and God says, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, he be put to death." And he says, "And thou shalt hang him on a tree." And the next verse says, in verse 23, "For he that is hanged is accursed of God." Now there's an interesting thing to notice here, and that is the man is to be put to death and then hanged on a tree. And that's because, and it was hung there to show how wicked he was. And that's because the Jews never had capital punishment by crucifixion. It was always by stoning. And so if there's going to put a person to death by a capital punishment, they're going to stone him to death and then hang him on a tree. It was the Romans who used the crucifixion. And that's why Jesus was crucified. Listen to me. It was the Roman government that crucified the Son of God. Excuse me. If the Jews would have put Jesus to death, it would have been by stoning. But the Romans put him to death by the crucifixion. It was the Roman government that crucified the Son of God, if you want to get right down to it. Of course, the Jews had a part in it, and so did you, and so did I, because our sins put him there. So let's be careful who we blame about the death of Jesus Christ. We're all in the same boat. So the message of Christ is the message of the cross. It's a message of truth. And so let's look at the tree in three different ways today. First of all, it is called the tree of sin. God calls the cross the tree of the curse, because it was the place of sin. Now, that doesn't mean that that's where Jesus was made sin for us. I think that he was made sin for us in the Garden of Gethsemane on the way to the cross. Remember how Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? Listen to Luke's account in Luke 22, verses 41 to 44. And he gives this account. "And as Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat as it was, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Have you ever wondered why all this agony and this bloody sweat? It wasn't because Jesus feared the cross. We're told in Hebrews he went with joy to the cross. It wasn't that he, because martyrs had been dying for, have been dying for Jesus since the church was instituted. It wasn't that he was going to die on the cross. It was that he was going to take the sins of the world into his precious, beautiful body. That holy, sinless Son of God, perfect in being, the only perfect being the world has ever seen. And that holy Son of God took on himself all the sins of mankind, all of the revolting, hideous, terrible sins of all times, rolled up into one huge, awful, terrible bundle and placed on him, Jesus, the holy, sinless Jesus. That was his agony, believe me. But when you come to the crucifixion, so then you see why it is called the tree of the curse. It shows where sin was finally and fully manifested and showed itself in all of its ugliness. It was shown when sinful men crucified the only sinless man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. Really, sin had already done a terrible sin things in the world before the crucifixion. It had degraded mankind. It had put mankind in opposition to God and made them enemies and rebels of God. It had bent man's back. It had blackened his heart. It put his steps on the highway to hell. That's what sin had done, and it's already done that even before the cross. And it was because of sin-filled men that Christ was crucified. It was sin that filled their minds with hate and wanted to put him to death. It was sin that filled their mouths with cursing and bitterness. It was sin that made their hearts so desperately, unbelievably wicked. It was sin that filled their hands with wicked works. It was sin that made their swift feet swift to shed blood. It was sin that nailed in the spikes and stood up the cross and pierced his side. Sin. That's the outworking of sin. That's the fruit of sin, my friends. Sometimes men try to cover their sins, so they use a cloak. They try to cover it. They use the cloak of culture, and they use the cloak of religion, and they use the cloak of works, and they use the cloak of good deeds, and they use the cloak of education. They use the cloak of anything and everything. They don't want to face the facts. And so it was that the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests were there, and they all wore gold. These beautiful garments of culture and religion. And on the cross, when Jesus died, and as he nailed the spikes, and as he died on the cross, those garments, those cloaks of garments of culture and religion and works and all of the rest, they all were ripped wide open. And the world could see the ghastly, wickedly, devilish wickedness of their sinful, treacherous heart. It was the cross, sinners slew the Son of God. The creatures killed the Son of God. The creatures killed the Creator. Can you imagine it? It doesn't seem possible, and yet it is true. It's as true as the Word of God. It is the tree of sin in every way. And then you can call it the tree of justice. The cross was called the tree of the curse by God because it is where the justice of God smote and destroyed sin forever. I'm going to tell you, we don't realize what true justice is today. There's so much injustice. There's so much fraud. There's so many loopholes. There's so much greed and so much craft and so much cheating. And television is filled with it. God have mercy on us. It's all over the world, and wickedness is so common, we don't know what stern justice is anymore. We don't have any idea, because we sure don't have it in society. Today, men do not think of divine justice unless they become convicted of their sin. And when we realize we are all sinners, and God says there's not a righteous, there's not a just man on the face of the earth. He says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That takes care of every last one of us. And if we have one speck of sin, we will never, ever enter heaven, because God has said, be ye holy as I am holy. And when we try to measure up to it, we see how wicked we are. And when you get closer to Jesus, he is so beautiful, and he is so wonderful, and he is so perfect. When you get no close to Jesus, you'll see how sinful and wicked we are. And we'll get a glimpse of God. We cry out as Isaiah did, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a wicked man, and I live with wicked people. He was stricken down, and that's what we have to do. We have to realize the perfect, impartial, permanent justice of God. And it is true, God is a God of love, and he would gladly forgive and forget sins. But he is also a God of justice. And so here we have an argument in the throne of God, in the heart of God. And the God of says, oh, we have to, can't do hurt them. I love them so much. And justice says they have sinned. And they can never be in heaven. And they'll have to be in hell. That's the justice of God. And so what did they do? Jesus said, I'll go to the earth, and I'll take all their sins, and I'll pay their sins, and I'll show the love of God in my going, and I'll show the justice of God, and I'll show you how the justice of God is. God will turn his back on his own son. And that never happened in the complete circle of eternity. And it was a God, the Son cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Son couldn't stand it in the daytime. He had covered his face, and it was darkness over the earth. What a horrible thing. But Jesus paid for our sins. God just didn't say, oh, we'll turn another page. We'll forget that. We'll be nice about it and forget. Oh, no. Justice, you pay your bill. And God says, you have to pay it. And Jesus says, I will pay it. And he went to the cross. Jesus, God says, I love people, but I have to, that justice of God says, yeah, I got to punish sin, and there's no way around it. And so he died. And somebody put it like this. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friend through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, not one interposed to save, but the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. And so it is the cross is called the tree of justice, because our sins are paid. God just doesn't say, okay, sonny, let it go. Oh, no. He paid it all in full. Jesus paid it all, we sing. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that's what Jesus says. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. And when he talks about like wool, he's not talking about the sheep out in the pasture. He's talking about shorn sheep. And when they shear the sheep, that lanolin is in there, and they're just as white. That wool is just as white and beautiful as the snow. And that's the way our sins are gone, and Jesus says, and God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's a tree of justice. And finally, it's the tree of liberty. The cross is triumphant in a radiant tree. And where there we receive or we gain our emancipation, we gain our liberty, we gain our freedom from sin. Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That liberty was won for us on the cross of Calvary. Victor Hugo said in an address at the planting of the Liberty Tree. He said, "The first tree of liberty was planted by God himself on Golgotha. The first tree of liberty was the cross on which Jesus Christ was offered. A sacrifice he was offered. A sacrifice for liberty, equality, and fraternity of the human race." And Hugo was correct. Wherever the cross has been proclaimed, there's been joyous liberation. Setting free. It frees the slaves. It lifts all men. It elevates women. It sanctifies marriage. It ennobles labor. It enlightens the pagan. It saves the sinner. It encourages the Christian. But most of all, it frees us from sin, evil, horrible sin. It sets us free. It frees us from the guilt of sin and washes away all in the blood of the Lamb, never to be remembered again. Unto him, and so John declares, unto him that loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelation 1:5. That's what he did. He washed it all away. There's an incident that took place away back in the 14th century. It illustrates the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. It was a man named Robert Bruce of Scotland. He was leading his men and trying to gain independence from England. And near the end of the conflict, and the English wanted to capture Bruce and keep him from getting to the crown and having to wear the crown for Scotland. And so they put his own bloodhounds on his own trail. And when they got close, Bruce could hear them baying loudly. And his attendant said, "We have gone, we are done for. They're on our trail. They reveal our hiding place. There's no way to go and nowhere to hide." And Bruce said, "It's all right, it's all right." And he headed for a stream that flowed through the forest. He stepped into the middle of the stream. He waded upstream a short distance. Then he went out on the other bank and into the depths of the forest. And within minutes, the hounds, tracing their master's footsteps, came to the bank, but they went no further. The English soldiers urged them on, but the trail was broken, and the trail was lost. The stream had carried the scent away. And a short time later, the crown of Scotland rested on the head of Robert Bruce. And so it is, the memory of sins prodded by Satan can be like those baying dogs. But there's a stream that's flowing, and it's red with the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. And by grace through faith, we are safe. No sin hound can touch us. The trail is broken. The precious blood of Christ, yes, is the tree of liberty, that beautiful tree of liberty. The tree transformed into a cross is now the transforming cross. And the cross lifted up Christ, and Christ lifted up the cross. And there was a cross, the cross was a dead thing. It was cut down, it was cut off from the root of life. It had no branches, and it had no leaves, and it had no life, and it had no hope, and without seed in the future. There was a dead man that was on that dead tree, but the dead man now lives. He was raised in the third day from the grave, and the blood from the dying man watered that dead tree, and it lives true now. And if that tree reaches out with its arms all around the world, and it reaches all the way to heaven, and if you come to Jesus who died for you on the cross, you can be set free. And that dead man and that dead tree was separated for 3 days and 3 nights, but loving hands then took them down, and when later on that they're put together, and they have the Christ and the cross, you have them together, and there's no end to that forever and ever, that wonderful Savior. And so we look today upon that cross, we look in faith, we pray the prayer of the penitent, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake." We confess our sins to that Christ. And we promise to forsake those sins. That's what Jesus taught, repentance. And then we ask Jesus to come into our heart. And we pray to him and we talk to him. And the heavy burden of guilt rolls away from sin-weary souls. And those sins that kept us awake all night are gone. They're gone, taken away. And we feel the freedom from our sins. And we feel liberty in Jesus Christ. And we rejoice because we're free. Free, free forever, free for eternity. Oh, yes, that's what we have. We want the cross, the old rugged cross that give us the tree of shame and disgrace and dishonor and of agony and of suffering. Give us the tree of despair of hell. Give us forever forsaken of God. Give us the tree of the curse, the tree of the finished task, full of redemption, full of everlasting life, full of the grace and peace of God. Friend of mine, listen, it's the triumphant tree. It's the radiant tree. It's the glorious tree. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. And you need to come to Jesus. And that's the whole reason we have the Christian worship hour, is to have you come to Jesus. And you say, I don't know, how can I come to Jesus? I don't know how to come to Jesus. Well, you just simply say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I'm asking you to come into my heart and take away my sins, wash away my sins. They're just like those hounds that were after Bruce. They just hound me all the time, and I can think back over the years, and I think of the dirty, lousy things I did, and I think of all of the sins of the past, and there they are, and they're following me all the time, and I'm going to go crazy. And Jesus will put an end to it, and they'll never be able to follow you because all the sin is taken away, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, and you're free, free. Millions of people have come, but there's still room for you. Just make that prayer today. And if you make that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. Wherever you are, we'll send you literature. And if you can't get to us, try to find a church. Try to find Christian people and start reading your Bible. And we suggest read the Gospel of John. It's such a beautiful, beautiful book. The whole Bible is but that Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John and pray every day and walk with Jesus. And then write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Send us a gift if you possibly can. Pray for this ministry and tell others about this ministry. If you think that it's something where the Word of God is being preached, let the whole world know. Tell your friends. If all of you would tell 10 people, look what would happen overnight. And maybe there's many people, young people, and maybe they're not having a hard time. And you can talk to them and you can tell them to listen in, and we'll tell them about this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus. Come now. And if you do that, you'll be born again. And Jesus says that if you come to me, I'll give you everlasting life. You will never perish. You'll never go to hell. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying that people everywhere, all over the world, children, little children can come to you. And young people, Lord, they face such a hard old world anymore. We haven't left them much to live in. They need help, and help them to just open their heart to Jesus in their own way to ask you. Pray for mothers and dads everywhere. And Lord, I pray for the shut-ins. There's some that can't get out. They can't get around. They're in wheelchairs. They're in bed. Or they can't get out in the cold weather. They can't get out in the miserable days. And help them to know that you love them and you see them and you care for them. And you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And so we pray that many will come to you and find peace and help. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for tuning us in. Thank you for worshiping with us. I just feel like we've been all together, all over the world. That wonderful Spirit of God speaks, and we use the Word of God, and then He speaks to hearts everywhere. And everybody has a little different situation, but the wonderful Holy Spirit will apply it to you, and the sermon will come just like it's preached just for you. And that's because the Holy Spirit is using it, and He's talking to your heart, and you respond. And if you drifted away from the Lord, you come back. We've talked about that. And just all of us worship the Lord together. And then you pray for the Christian Worship Hour. And we'll pray for you. And then next week we'll get together, the Lord willing, that worship that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.